This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I would like to thank the Aguda for this opportunity to hopefully inspire you in Yonei Tefillah while simultaneously be inspired myself. We're all aware of the famous Mishnah in Maseches Avos, Al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Omed, three primary pillars of the world, Al HaTorah, Al HaVodah, Ve'al HaGemilas Chasadim. If we would have to assess our standing as from Erlich Yidin and give ourselves a grade on how are we doing in these pillars of Yiddishkeit, I think we would find the following. When it comes to the first Yisoid of Torah, there are more yeshivas on the New Jersey Turnpike than there were in all of Surah, Narda, and Pumbedisa put together. The level that Torah is being learned and studied nowadays probably hasn't been on such a high madrega to the masses for many, many centuries. When it comes to Gemilas Chasadim, the myriad chesed organizations, charities, millions upon millions of dollars being distributed, given out in the proper fashion, Tamche Shabbos organizations, also of unheard of levels. Yet when it comes to the middle amud of tefillah, I think it would be fair to say that we're not really up to par. I've heard people come home from a shir and say, wow, that was an amazing shir. The Maggid shir was fantastic. The sugya was amazing. I've heard people say, this chesed organization, the way they do things in such a magnanimous fashion, such generosity, how they helped my son's Rebbe make a chasana. People express such notions. But when it comes to tefillah, did you ever hear somebody come home and tell his wife, today I had a meridika davening? It just doesn't exist. And the truth is that this is not a new phenomenon. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us that Vavam and Beis, that tefillah is mehadvarim hatluyim berumo shel olam. Tefillah is something that's the pinnacle, that's the apex of the world. And yet, b'nei adam mezalzalin boy. People treat it cheaply, they have a lack of respect for it, and this is b'tkufas ha-gemara. So this is not a phenomenon of the 21st century. So the question I would like to deal with this morning is, why is that? Why is that we have a lack of chashivos, a lack of appreciation for this amud, this central pillar of tefillah, which Rabbeinu Yoina tells us in his Pirush in Masechtas Avos, that avoida zu tefillah. That's what we're referring to. So I want to suggest two possible terutzim. The first terutz is not that we are kaifrim and we don't realize the potential of tefillah, but we forget about an appreciation of tefillah. We forget about its otherworldly powers, how it can poyalos in Himmel and Shemayim, fantastic things. I have a mispalel of mine, a Sephardi fellow, and he likes to say, to joke about us b'nei Ashkenaz, he says, you Ashkenazim, for you davening, it's like a shower. You need to get clean, you get in, you get out, don't forget behind the ears. For us Sephardim, it's like a jacuzzi. We get there, we spend our time, we relax, let the schwitz, the sauna, open up our nasal passages. And the truth is that they do have a certain chashivas. When the Sephardim finish davening, they always have a dvar halacha, and then a kaddish derabbanan afterwards. It's the famous joke that an Ashkenazi once came over to a Sephardi and said, in halacha it says, you're not supposed to be marba b'kaddishim. Every time you guys have an opportunity to say kaddish, you know, that's mamash against halacha. So the Sephardi fellow turned to him and said, toda rabba, yitgadav, yitgadash, merabba. But the truth is that if we look already into the Rishonim and we use this to remind ourselves about the ability and the power of a koyach hatfila, I think it'll be a chizuk. So the first reason why we don't have this chashivas hatfila is because we pashut forget about the awesome power of davening to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. required reading the Sefer Achinuch, Mitzvah Taf Lamed Gimel, he says there's an ability to ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for whatever you need, whatever you require, whatever your life dictates and necessitates, you can ask for during davening. And it's a mitzvah to do. What's the etymology of the word tefillah? The Mefarshim explained tefillah is milashon of naftule Hashem ki niftalti, a lashon of chibur, of hischabrus, making a connection, fostering a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Navi Yeshaya tells us in Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Am zu yotzarti li tihilasi yisaperu. This nation of Klal Yisrael, I've created for myself, for what? Tihilasi yisaperu. They should sing my praises, that they should daven to me. This is a tachlis of the Bria. Reb Chatzkel and Reb Yerucham have lengthy mamarim in which they explain, obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need our tefillos. But they take it a step further. The reason why we are lacking certain things in our lives is so that we should daven. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to daven, so he gives us tzrochim, so that we should beseech the Ribbono Shel Olam, help me with parnasa, help me with shidduchim, help me with nachas from the children. So we come to a convention to focus on in Yonei Tefillah. The idea is to kind of give us a shock, like a defibrillator. Wake up. Let's try to focus on the uncanny koyach of tefillah. I want to share with you a story of a young lady in London in her 30s, who for the sake of anonymity will remain nameless, who unfortunately fell deathly ill with COVID at the beginning of the pandemic. And her family was around her bedside praying for many, many weeks till she fell in a comatose state. And as time went on, COVID had an effect on her, and the machines, the numbers, they started dropping. The doctors called the family together and they said, you know, it doesn't really look good. Her vital organs are starting to shut down. You know, it's really towards the end. And you should come, even though she's in a comatose state, but to say your final farewells and goodbyes. Her parents came, and this young woman is my sister-in-law's first cousin, so this is a verified story. Her family came, and her father saw the state that she was in, and the numbers were dropping, and he felt the need just to leave the hospital room to go and to daven, take a walk, to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he goes for a walk around the corner from the hospital to a private area, to a park, and he's davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He comes back, and lo and behold, the numbers are going up. This lady, Baruch Hashem, had a miraculous recovery and is alive and healthy, Baruch Hashem, to tell the tale. When she exits her comatose state, she calls her father aside and says, Daddy, I want you to know that my neshama exited my body and it was flying up and ascending towards the Kisei HaKavod. And when I got up to Shamayim, as that bond of the guf and the neshama was about to be severed, all of a sudden, a tefillah with a Kabbalah that you made grabbed hold of my neshama and pulled it back down and brought me back to this world. And to prove to you, she says to her father, that this actually happened, you were standing in such and such a park at such and such a location at such and such a time, and your Kabbalah and your tefillah was A, B, C. She was comatose at the time that it happened. Her father had never related to anybody what her tefillah was, what his tefillah was, what his Kabbalah was. The koyach of tefillah is unbelievable. This is just one story to try to wake us up and give us a shock effect to realize the magnitude of tefillah. But the chinuch says you need to be mamin b'koyach ha-tefillah. It's not just enough to daven. L'chol asher yikra'uhu be'emes. You have to turn and supplicate the Ribbono Shel Olam, plead to him be'emes, in truth, in sincerity. The Sefer told us Aaron in Asifas Mechtavim, Chelek Aleph, Ois Kuf Hei writes, Kisha Adam ma'amin be'emuno shalema, when somebody believes in truth, she'akadosh baruch hu shomea tefilasei, the Ribbono Shel Olam hears his tefilas, oz yachal lifal b'tefilasei kol machsayrov. If your ma'amin b'muna shalema, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to your tefillah, then you can payolos with your tefillah anything that you're lacking. But it requires an emuna shalema in your tefillah. The Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Beis Yud Gimel says that every single tefillah is payol mashahu l'mayla. This is something that the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, they agree upon. The ability of tefillah is abnormal. It's something that doesn't exist based on chukei hateva. But you need to be mamin in it. And you need to believe in it. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't get the desired answer that we want. But that doesn't mean that the tefillahs are not heard. The Rebbe Rebunim from Pshischa went to his Rebbe, the Chayza of Lublin, before Yom Narayim, to get a bracha. And he said, Rebbe, the Chayza, was able to see from one side of the world to the other. He said, Rebbe, Zugmir, tell me what is going to happen to Binim this year. What's going to happen to me? What will befall me? The Chayza told him, you're going to lose your parnasa. Your wife is going to become sick. You're going to be sent into exile. You're going to lose your house. It's going to be a shreklich year. The Rebbe Binim leaves the Chayza dejected, demoralized. Kachava, as the months progress, that's exactly what happens. He was a wealthy man. His investment soured. His wife, Nebuch, got sick. The banks took away his house. And he was sent into Golus, wandering from town to town. He had no other choice. He was left empty in this world. And he turned to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he poured out his heart. And from one day to the next, his parnasa went back up. His wife became well. He bought back his house. Maybe did an extension. And he came back to the Chayza. And he said, Rebbe, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, you knew everything that was going to happen. And you told me everything was going to happen. Why didn't you tell me that at the end everything will be okay? And the Chayza told him, Binim, you asked me what's going to happen to you this year, Alpi Ateva. Obaven min davint, kemen als poyelin. When you daven, you could change anything. That's not what you asked me for, said the Chayza to Rabbanim. You asked me what's the chukei hateva. You daven, all bets are off. The game has changed. And the truth is that this has an afkamina lamaisa. There's a Gemara in Kiddush and a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara relates a story that Rabbi Yaakov, Breder of Acha, sent his son to go learn in yeshiva, in the yeshiva of Abaya. He wasn't so happy with his son's results. And Rabbi Acha, Breder of Yaakov says, you know what? Rabbi Yaakov, Breder of Acha says, you know what? He called his son back. He said, you stay at home. I'm going to go learn in yeshiva. In the yeshiva of Abaya, there was a mazik. There was somebody that would damage anybody that would come in, and nobody could overcome the mazik. Abaya told the people, the inhabitants of the town, he said, that when Rabbi Yaakov comes, nobody should invite him, nobody should offer him any hospitalities. I want him to go into the yeshiva, that he should have a meeting and should have to encounter with this mazik. And the Gemara relates, that's exactly what happened. Rabbi Yaakov went to the yeshiva and there was this mazik who appeared to him as a seven-headed monster. And every single time that Rabbi Yaakov bowed down b'tfila to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, one of the heads was cut off, was severed from this mazik, until the mazik was killed and annihilated. On the morning, Rabbi Yaakov meets the residents of the town, and he says to them, what do you fellows do to me? You put me in a sakana. You love this rachish nisaf, not for this miraculous chain of events that happened, that every time I bow down and daven to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then I would have been in a sakana. What were you doing? You can't put me in a sakana. The Marsha asks Akasha. L'chari, Rabbi Yaakov is right. What was Abaya thinking? What were the residents of the town thinking? Says the Marsha, Yisoid Gadol. Rabbi Yaakov's taina was that you can't rely on an ace. I was in the shasakana. Says the Marsha, Abaya knew about Rabbi Yaakov that his koyach hatfilah, and in truth, anybody's koyach hatfilah, if they're koyach be'emes, has the ability to overcome a mazik that for anybody else would be a sakana. The koyach hatfilah negates something that's considered a sakana in halacha. And it therefore was permitted for Abaya to force Rabbi Yaakov to spend that time in the Beis Medrash to defeat that mazik. When it comes to a tefillah, there's no such concept of a sakana. And the truth is that the koyach tefillah is so great that most of the time we're not even cognizant of the miraculous things that our tefillah piles us. My wife's great-grandfather, Reb Chaim HaKohen Stern, was in Antwerp post-World War II. He was walking down the block, and there was a Chassidish Yid standing outside, and he said, at center, we need a 10th man for our minyan. Reb Chaim said, okay, I'm going to go in and daven. Who was the minyan? It was for the Alta Skver Rebbe. So he went in and he davened. He was a Hungarian Yid. He didn't have any shaykhs with Skver per se. And they requested that the next morning he please come back and daven again to be mashlam, the minyan. Obviously, they were having some difficulty getting a minyan. And the next morning comes, and Reb Chaim Stern goes to daven with the Skver Rebbe, and he's a little bit anxious. He's looking at his clock, at his watch, because he knows he has a flight to catch. And Kminig HaChassidim, the davening slept out a little bit, didn't start on time, definitely didn't end on time. And he was getting quite nervous, but he was the 10th man of the quorum. And he missed his flight that day because he agreed to be mashal the minyan with the Alta Skver Rebbe. I don't know the flight numbers. It would be definitely more dramatic if I did. But that flight blew up midair, leaving no survivors. The flight that he missed. In this very room are sitting about 10 of his Einiklach and Ir Einiklach. The Koyach HaTfilah that he didn't even realize that he was poiling us with his davening. But it's really much deeper than that. Yes, Naftuli Hashem Niftalti, it's a hischabrus to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But tefillah, if done right, becomes your essence. It defines you. David HaMelech tells us in Kapitel Lamed Hey, Kol Atzmoisoi Taimarno, all of my bones will speak to you, will sing your praises, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. In Kapitel Kuftes he writes, Va'ani tefillah. It's grammatically incorrect. Va'ani tefillah, I am a prayer. You're a human being, how are you a prayer? Explains Rashi, yes. A person could be nehepach to a shtik tefillah. You daven to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it becomes your essence. You become a tefillah of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There are certain svarim that you can read that will give you chizuk in tefillah. Reb Shimshon Pinkus has a masterful sefer, Sha'arim B'Tefillah, written in Lashon Kodesh and in English. I definitely recommend it. And he says, when it comes to tefillah, you can take a dover gashmi and be mahapachit to a dover ruchni. Your mundane needs, your ingrown toenail, can become a shtik kedusha when you dive into the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It becomes your essence. Hopefully not the ingrown toenail. But it becomes who you are. You become a shtik Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You become a shtik tefillah. But often we look at ourselves and we get chalishas adas and we say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I don't know how to dive in. What do I know? Listen to a chsam sefer, mind-boggling. Parshas Nitzavim. Zok the chsam sefer. V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha. Amal, a person doesn't know how to daven. Amal, a person doesn't even know what to daven for. You don't even have a direction. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is this good for me? Is this not good for me? Is this the right shidduch? Is this a good investment? Says the Chassam Sefer, when a person davens with sincerity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can put the words into his mouth of the tefillah. The connection you have with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that becomes your essence is that the chelik Elokam mimal that's inside you, the tefillah, the avodah shebelev inside your heart, that pinta liyid, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam puts the words of tefillah into your mouth. You can be vishavta, you could return ad until you're a bechina of Hashem Elokecha. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam implants yiyu l'rotzein imrefi, the words of my mouth, vehegyon libi, the thoughts of my heart. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you know what's good for me. That's the pshat we vinch on. Yimale Hashem kol mashal is libcha l'tayva. It's in your heart of hearts. Sometimes we get turned to despair. We keep on davening. We don't see the results that we're looking for. There was a certain bachur who was looking for a shidduch, and he was makabel on himself to say gan sefer tehillim for 30 days. Nice idea. Don't know where he heard it from. He said, I'm going to say old tehillim. The more you say Tehillim, you know it takes between an hour and a half, 2.5 hours, depending how fast or slow you go. It's time-consuming every single day for 30 days. And 30 days elapses, and he's on a high, and he feels spiritually uplifted. He davened, he's going to have a Yeshua. Ve'einenu. Doesn't work out. Okay, he waits a couple of weeks. He gets chizik again. He said, you know what, I'm going to try it a second time. 30 days, day in, day out. Gan Sefer Tehillim. Doesn't work. No results. His family tells him, listen, Yankel, it's a very nice idea. If you want to say Tehillim, it's beautiful. But it doesn't seem to be working. And there were times that you were mentally and physically exhausted and you didn't have the hour and a half to 2 hours to say Tehillim. Maybe being too hard on yourself. And he said, perhaps you're right, but I'm going to try it again. I'm not giving up hope. I believe in the Kayach HaTfilah. And a third time he recited Tehillim for 30 days, day in, day out. And still no response. And even in his own heart of hearts, he's starting to think like his family. Maybe it's futile. There's no point in what he's doing. He said, you know what? I'm going to give it one more shot. A fourth round, 30 days. Gan Sefer Tehillim. After 30 days, a shidduch is read. Mazel tov, b'sha tov u'mitzlachas. They're engaged to be wed. At his vart, his future father-in-law gets up and emotionally takes the podium and the microphone. And he says, Rabbi Isai, I need to tell you something. I have to be moided to the Rabbi Nishalayim al kol ha-toyv asher gemolani, all the goodness he's bestowed upon me this year. In the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, I had 4 daughters in Shidduchim. And today I can celebrate the engagement of my 4th daughter. Yankel's Tehillim wasn't only piling ice for himself. Was piling ice for his sisters-in-law, his future sisters-in-law to be. The koyach is amazing, Rabbi Isai. We have to remind ourselves about this uncanny koyach that tefillah has. And that's the first response to our lackluster appreciation of tefillah. We have to remind ourselves that the power of tefillah is really totally an esoteric concept. Something we can't fully imagine. But the second thing, the second reason why I think we have a zilusa l'tfilah is because the daily grind of the davening gets to us. 3 times a day, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, Shabbos, Musaf, Rosh Chodesh, Yontif. Every day, day in, day out, the same tfilas. Before Anshe Knesset HaGdolah came along and made the Nusach HaTfilah, everybody would daven for their own unique needs. Came along Anshe Knesset HaGdolah and they saw that we weren't holding by that Madrega, and they set up a Nusach HaTfilah. But every single day, day in, day out, it's the same thing. We become bored. If you have steak for dinner, it's delicious, assuming it's medium rare. But if you have it every night for dinner, it's disgusting. Just give me a potato knish, a bereka. The reason why we don't have an appreciation for davening is because bizman Chanukah, like the Sfas Emes tells us, the zman of lighting the menorah is ad shetichla haregel min hashuk, ad shetichla hergel min hashuk. We need to dispel this notion of redundancy, of the same thing over and over again, the same tefillahs day in, day out. It's hard to concentrate when you say the same thing, even if you don't have ADHD. There's a story, somebody once came to the Friedrich Kleisenberger Rebbe, the Divrei Yatziv, and the fellow was wearing his tefillin shel yad and holding his shel roish in his other hand. And he goes over to the Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, echtaf apsak halucha. The Rebbe said, okay, wondering why this fellow is talking with his shel yad on and his shel roish off. And he said, Rebbe, you can see that I'm on an interesting state. I'm wearing my shel yad, but I'm not wearing my shel roish. I can't remember if I'm starting to daven now and I haven't yet put on my shel roish, or I finished davening already and I took off my shel roish and now I need to take off my shel yad. The Riyatsev told him he could daven again with his achrayis. But unfortunately, sometimes, because things become rote and they become so repetitive, we lose this chashivas hatfilah of the davar hatalei beruma shel olam. But Chanukah is a very auspicious time to deal with this. We say in davening, b'mei matasyahu ben yoichanan kohen gadol chashmonai uvanav. Frektzuch lekasha, on Purim we have a similar nusach. B'mei mordechai ve'ester b'shushan abir. But we don't associate Mordechai to his lineage. We don't say Mordechai ben Shimi. Why is it that Matasiel ben Yochanan were miyachas him to his father? There's a machlokes rishonim. Is the Kohen Gadol going on Matasiel, or is it going on Yochanan? Matasiel ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Who was the Kohen Gadol? Was it Matasiel or was it Yochanan? And the truth is that there's a Gemara in Maseches Megillah that seems to say very clearly that Matasiel was the Kohen Gadol. The Degui Seifrim brings already from the Tkufas HaGa'inim that there's a Shinu Neschayis, that it wasn't Matasiel that was the Kohen Gadol, but it was Yochanan the Kohen Gadol. And in truth, this is a Machlokes Rishonim between the Rambam and the Meiri and the Machzer Vitri and the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz says that Matasiel wasn't the Kohen Gadol. It was Yochanan who was the Kohen Gadol. Yochanan was the Kohen Gadol, but he wasn't Stam Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Says the Tashbetz, he was that infamous Yochanan Kohen Gadol that the Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Chav Tes, that b'shnashmoinim l'chayev, in the 80th year of his life, he became a tzeduki, he became an apikiris, and he went off the derech. What did he do? He was makdir the k'toyres, k'shitas ha-tzedukim. The Torah says, ki be'onon e'roa l'kapoyres. The Prushim held that you have to put the k'toyres on the machta, on the gecholim, in the kodesh ha-kadoshim, and the tzedukim held you do that outside in the heichol, in the kodesh. And that's what happened to this Yochanan Kohen Gadol. There's no Maseches Chanukah in Talmud Bavli, but there is a Mishnah in Maseches Bava Kamma that deals with Chanukah, but totally Zaitik. The Mishnah says that if somebody is a chenveni, a storekeeper, and they light a fire, and a camel walks by carrying flax, and the flax gets burnt, so the chenveni, we have to decide whether or not he's a mazik. If the fire was lit in indoors in the chenveni's store, and the flax stuck inside and became a lit, then he's potter. But if the chenveni would have lit the fire outdoors in the path of the road, then the chenveni would be chayiv. He's a mazik. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says, however, if it was ner Chanukah, then he's going to be potter. Because then you have a mitzvah to light outdoors. Says Rav Baruchel Mimezhbish, the Einikel from the Baal Shem Tov. There's a fascinating koyach in ner Chanukah. And that is to rectify the sins of the previous generations. When Matisyahu went and lit the menorah in the Heichal, which is where you do the Maisa Hadlaka, he was being mesakin for the pagam that his father, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the Tzeduki, did when he lit the Ketairis outside. And that's why on Chanukah, we're miyachis Matisyahu to Yochanan, his father, Yeno Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Because when Matisyahu did his action, he rectified what his father was chayte. Says the Buruchel, that chenveni, that storekeeper, is Isis Yochanan. When Yochanan Kohen Gadol was madlik the menorah, b'ner Chanukah, he becomes potter. He can potter up his father's misdeeds. I want to take this thought one step deeper. If you think about it, it's interesting that we don't have anywhere in Tefillah that we daven for children. There's no haskara in Shemoin Esrei of children. Rabbi Arla Belzer said there is a haskara for children in davening, in Maidim. We say, L'dar v'dar nesaper tehilosecha. Now, in truth, if you open a siddur, you'll see that there's a period before the word L'dar v'dar. It's atahu L'dar v'dar. But Rav Schwab writes in his Pirush ala Siddur, which is also required reading for Chizuk and Tfilah, that it has dual meaning. You can read it both ways. You could say atahu L'dar v'dar, and you could also say L'dar v'dar noide l'cho nesaper tehilosecha. In Maidim, in Haidah, that's the time when we daven for children. Because Haidah is a tefillah that has the koyach of Hamshacha. The Mishnah Berurah says we know that the kavanah of the Pirush Hamilas is ma'akev in the first bracha. But in Siman Kaf Aleph, he says there are shittas that hold in Moedim as well. And that's the Iker's man of the kavanah. The Trumas HaKriyin is Akdama, and with this we'll end. In Ois Gimel, he says there's an unbelievable power in tefillah. And this, I think, Rabbi Say, is a huge chizik when it comes to tefillah. Sometimes we daven shaloi b'kavanah. The daily grind gets to us. But our tefillahs get stuck in a pipeline and are there until we have a proper tefillah, which then can be maila any previous tefillahs that were done shaloi b'kavana. And to quote you the lashon of the Trumas HaKri, and Rabbi Yonison Eibshitz says the same thing in Yairis Dvash. Omnam gamim einenu b'kavana eina nidchis legamri. If you daven improperly, it's not pushed off. Aval himu nachas bekeren zavis, vim yispal al acharkach bekavona, yesh boi koyach lahaloisa afa tefillah asher hoya beloi kavona. You have a power in tefillah to fix the old things. That's the concept of Chanukah. We have the ability to change. Even those tefillahs that were shaloi bekavona, all it requires is one good tefillah, one zman of chizuk. Baal HaTanya writes that Sinar, the pipeline, is Oisi Ois Rotzain. The pipeline, the Shefa that we get from the Bnei Shalom is as great as your Rotzain is. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be Zeicha to a Harchev Pichov Amaleu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to open our mouths to make that Sinar a huge pipeline, that the Shefa should come down, and we should be Zeicha to be Milo all of our Tfilas. And yes, some of our Tfilas won't be up to par, but all it takes is one powerful tefillah. It's a great kavod for me to introduce our next speaker, Daniel Gladstein, who's the Rav in Tiferes Mordechai in Cedarhurst, prolific speaker, author, fantastic svarim, Magad HaRakia. I don't get any commission, I recommend it. It's a great schutz for us to have Rabbi Gladstein in Mahanas with some Devei Chizr.
Thank you so much, Rav Krasnow Shlita. I'm very grateful that you told over that story, the miracle that happened about the plane that didn't explode, and because of that, there are dozens of people in the audience today to come to hear the shir on tefillah. Because of that tefillah, I have people today who came to listen to my shir, so I'm very grateful for that. By way of introduction, having this chus to share a few thoughts about tefillah here at the Aguda Convention, I feel compelled to share with you a personal thought. I take you back 77 years. When my grandfather, Rav Mordechai Leib Gladstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was liberated from Dachau, together with a couple of his best friends, Itzhe Meyer Zemba, Avrumcho Zemba, these were nephews of Hagoyin Rav Menachem Zemba. My Zayda was a ben bayis by Rav Nachum Zemba before the war. Together with Rav Yosef Galanter, Aviezer Berstein, these Halig Yidden, survivors who traversed the crucible of the Holocaust, before they rebuilt their personal lives, before they rebuilt their own families, they understood that before rebuilding anything, Klal Yisrael needs a foundation. And therefore, the first thing they did after the war is they rebuilt Agudas Yisrael. I have a picture here from 1945 of five holy survivors holding up the banner Tzeire Agudas Yisrael, because they recognize before any binyan, you need a yesod. And the basis l'chol davar shebekdusha is Agudas Yisrael. And I am sure that 75 years ago, these Yidden, the furthest thing from their mind was that in 75 years in a hotel in New Jersey, hundreds of Yidden will gather together in a hotel to speak about tefillah, to speak how they could come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps thousands listening virtually. That was the furthest thing from their mind. They would have said, that's a cholam. But Baruch Hashem, here we are today. Hayinu kecholmim, it's a dream come true. And for my grandfather, who is nifter just this last Pesach at 106 years old, he was writing for the Aguda paper, not in 1950 when they started Dossier de Shavart with Yossela Friedensen. He was writing for the Aguda paper in 1946, which before Dossier de Shavart, it was Das Freie Wort. And together with Yossela Friedensen, they wrote in the DP camps, Chizuk for the survivors, and I happen to have with me the articles that they wrote in the late 40s. So I hope that this year should be an Eloi for his Heilige Neshama. So when glancing at the names of some of the sessions, I don't know if the symposia on tefillah was the most exciting subject of the 9:45 Agudas Yisrael session. I know there were sessions on kids at risk, smartphones, and tefillah perhaps was not the most glamorous subject, but can there be a more important subject than tefillah? Regrettably, most honest B'nai Aliyah would admit that our tefillah leaves what to be desired. I think even Erlich Yidden, I'm talking about Yidden who come on time, who leave their distractions out of the Beis HaKnesses, I think they would all agree that our tefillah could use a boost. And to me personally, a very fundamental cause, and this is something we really need to identify, is that it's extremely hard, and let me rephrase that, it is impossible to get anything meaningful out of something that you don't know anything about. And this could not be more true than when it comes to tefillah. You know, we say psukim of hoidu. Okay, so in hoidu, it seems like they're a random collection of a few psukim about hishtachaveh, from this place in Tanakh, from that place in Tanakh, followed by random psukim about rachamim, v'hurachum, ato Hashem loisich l'rachamecha mimeni, followed by random psukim about ois, followed by random psukim about nekama. Why are we saying psukim about hishtachaveh? Why are you saying psukim about rachamim? Why are we following with psukim about ois and nekama? I don't know. It's in the Siddur. So I just say it. How could anyone expect tefillah to have any meaning whatsoever if one has not learned the subject of tefillah like any miktsaya of Torah? You know, the Shulchan Aruch says that Mizmor L'Soida, Mizmor L'Soida you have to say Bezimra because Kol Hashirois Osid Libatel, except for Mizmor L'Soida. Well, what's so special about Mizmor L'Soida? Why is it different than Yehi Chavod? How is it different than Vayivarech David? I don't know. It's in the book. So I flip through the book, and I go through it in 15 minutes. But what's Mizmor L'Soida? So it has to be studied like any subject in Torah. Rabbi Avram Falaji brings from Megala Amukos. There are 43 words in Mizmor L'Soida. Mizmor L'Soida is the Hakdama to Tefillah. Every stanza of Mizmor L'Soida is an intro to another Chelek HaTefillah. Tefillah starts with Torah, Berchas HaTorah. Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz Roshei Tevois Halacha. That's the first part of Tefillah. The next part of Tefillah is Karbanos. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha Avoida. Next is Psukei Dezimra. Boyu Lefanov Bernana. Next is Kriya Shema. Da, de'u ki Hashem hu alaykim. V'chahena v'chahena. Mizmor L'Soida is the headline of tefillah. But if we don't learn what Mizmor L'Soida is, how can we expect it to have any meaning to us? Why are there five halalukas? What's the yisoid of each haleluka? How does the first haleluka flow into the second? How does the second one build on the first? What are the five principles expressed by... I don't know. I just say it to make sure I'm up to Yishtabach when the Chazan starts. So if we've never studied it, and we've never analyzed it, and we never treated it like any other Miktsaya in Torah, how can we really expect it to be meaningful to us? So the first point is, and I think this is the most important point, that tefillah is no less important than any other Miktsaya in Kol HaTorah Kula. And the same way we couldn't possibly expect to be Bekiyam in Hilchos Shabbos, if somebody didn't learn Shabbos B'Iyun, if somebody never studied the precise significance of each Chelek HaTefillah, how it hooks into the next, how it follows and builds off the previous, how can tefillah really be meaningful to us? I'd like to share with you, in just the brief amount of time I have, two fundamental approaches to davening. And I think just being aware of these two concepts will elevate our tefillah forever. Here's the first thing. You know, sometimes you have to just go back to the basics. You have to reduce everything to its most simple formula. Okay, we daven shachris. It took 45 to 50 minutes. You know, we turned 100 pages. We walked away from shachris. What did we just do? What did we just accomplish? What were we supposed to accomplish? What was the goal of our tefillah? Or even if somebody has less time, a woman only has 5 minutes to daven before she gets the kids up, out to yeshiva, out to work. What is a person supposed to expect to accomplish in their tefillah? So I just want to share with you, I like the visual. We have a handout over here. Immortal words, three lines of Chovos HaBavos. And we're going to see something incredible, that there are five main objectives of tefillah. None of them are to ask Hashem to get what you need. That is not an objective of tefillah. We think, we're going to shul, because I need merubim tzarachai. I have a lot of needs. I need shiduchim. I need parnasa. I need health. And I'm here in shul to get what I need. That is not an objective of tefillah. It's a good thing, something we want, but that's not the function. That's not the objective of tefillah. Here they are. Says the Chovas Havavos in Shar Cheshben HaNefesh. V'roi l'cha ochi sheteida. My dear brother, it is worthy that you know. Ki kavanosenu b'tfila eina ki im. These are the only objectives of tefila. Number one, ki im kelois hanefesh el holeikim. It's the yearning of the neshama for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, kiniyasa lefanav, the humility of the neshama before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number three, imroi memusa lebayra, elevating the Creator. Number four, shivcha v'haida'asa l'shmai, thanking Hashem. And number five, don't misinterpret this, hashlochas kol yehaveha olav, throwing your pekel on Hashem. Not asking Hashem something so that the Ribbono Shel Olam should give you what you need. That's not an objective of tefillah. Certainly something we want, but that's not the purpose of tefillah, and that's not what we should think we're trying to accomplish with tefillah. The objective, the fifth objective of tefillah is a person has many needs, a person has many desires. The act of bitachon, of throwing your entire pekel on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that act of bitachon is the fifth objective of tefillah. And I think it's worthwhile if a person could prepare themselves. Okay, I'm about to daven shacharis. It's going to take me 50 minutes. Let me at least know that in the next 50 minutes, I'm going to accomplish the five main avenues of avodas Hashem in this world. That means we have to try to identify where in davening are we going to accomplish these five tafkidim. So maybe, in other words, we walked out of shul. At any point in time, did I fulfill that my neshama was yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Did that happen this morning? So let's identify, okay, tomorrow morning, when I say the pasuk, Nafshenu chiksa l'Hashem ezreinu magineinu hu, my soul yearns for Hashem. He's my help. He's my shield. At that juncture, let me try to be mekayim, that this will be an expression of my yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kiniyasa lefanav. I said all the pages, I said Berachas HaShachar, I said Psukei DeZimra, I said Shema. At any point in time, did I muster the hargasha that I humble myself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe next time we say the Pasuk, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, we should think, Ribbono Shel Olam, I can't even open up my mouth, I can't even articulate words without your assistance. That will be my juncture where I'm a Kayim Kniyasoi Lefanav. I said the whole davening, but at any point in time did I feel that I was meroimim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pick a spot, pick a juncture, pick a place. Maybe when you say, Mi chamoicha bal gevurois umi doimelach, one should think, okay, at this juncture in time, I'm mekayim the great ideal, the great objective of being meroimim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pick one spot. So at least when the tefillah is over, you could walk away and you say, okay, I said all the pages, but what I took out of it was I mekayim the mailos ha'olyonis, the main objectives of avodas Hashem. You know, gratitude is easy. The entire davening is full of hoidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at least one spot we should choose, we should mark off, okay, here I'm going to be mekayim the inyan of hoidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hashlich yahavcha alav. And this is so important. Yes, we would like to think we're going to shul to ask Hashem for what we need because we're hoping to get it. That's a personal desire. That's not an objective of tefillah. That's not the purpose of the amud of tefillah. The purpose of being mevakesh is the exercise of bitachon, of taking everything we need and throwing it on Hashem. Will we get it? Avada, koyach tefillah. But that's not the objective of the tefillah. The objective is the act of throwing it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think if a person would be able to walk out of a davening and say, you know, yes, I said all the words, faster, slower, but more than that, more fundamental than that, I was mekayim the objectives of tefillah. I have 5 things in my back pocket, 5 things I produced in my tefillah. Then a person would get a certain sipuk hanefesh, a person would have a certain satisfaction, like someone who learns the daf. You learn the daf, you come out, some days I get it, some days I didn't get it, but at least when I'm finished, I have the daf, I did the daf. When you walk out of the shacharis, a person should be able to say, I said 20,000 words, but at least I know I was mekayim, the 5 main avenues and ideals of Avodas Hashem. I was moidet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was meroimim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I submitted my neshama. I humbled myself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I threw my pekel on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then it would give a person a certain satisfaction that somebody would look forward to the next tefillah. Okay, when am I going to get those 5 things again? When am I going to put those 5 items in my pocket one more time? The next idea to me is personally the most meaningful approach to tefillah that has enhanced my personal davening. So imagine if a person was able to walk and travel, traverse through the holiest spot on earth. Imagine if a person was able to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So a person would get up in the morning, perhaps before dawn, and you'd be sitting there in the Ezras Nashim, and even before the crack of dawn, Yidden would gather in the Ezras Nashim to say Tehillim, to say Tchinois, to prepare themselves, Chasidim HaRishayim, Shayin Es Atzma. And then when the signal was given, the doors would open and people would slowly walk up the 15 stairs, up the Ezras Nashim, headed to the great Shar Niknar. And then you would go into the 11 Amos of the Ezras Yisrael, which is Machane Shechina, and the Akum were not allowed entrance into that area. And then once you're in the Yud Aleph Amos of the Ezras Yisrael, you would pass the Duchan. And then from the Duchan, you would see the great Mizbeach. And then you would elevate yourself to an even higher Madrega of the area Bein Ha'ulam L'Mizbeach. And then you would walk up the 12 stairs plus the platform, 13 stairs, until you got to the Pesach Ha'ulam. And you walked in the Ulam. And you looked up at the ceiling of the Ulam and you would see chains coming down from the Ulam. And on those chains, the Pirchei Kahuna would climb up the chains. And on the ceiling of the Ulam was the Keser of Mashiach, of Zerubbabel and Mashiach. And then you would go through the Pesach HaHechal. And on your right side in the north, the Shulchan was in the north. HaRoitzeh LeHa'ashir Yatzbin. And on your left side in the south, HaRoitzeh LeHachkim Yadrim. Why do Jews go to Miami? HaRoitzeh LeHachkim Yadrim. And then front and center, you have the Mizbeach HaKetores. And you go a little further, you have the Paroiches, and finally you're standing in the holiest spot on earth, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If only we could make this journey. If only we could walk into the Beis HaMikdash, we would be elevated, we would be changed people forever. Says Reb Shimon Schwab in his amazing Sefer Ion Tefillah, and this is really based on the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, every single day, 3 times a day, when we daven Shacharis, when we daven Mincha, when we daven Mariv, we are entering the Beis HaMikdash through the Ezras Nashim, to the Ezras Yisrael, to the Mizbeach, to the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And let me just share with you how this idea developed for me. You know, you wake up in the morning, and you wash Negel Vasser, and after you wash Negel Vasser, you get dressed, you get ready for davening, and you wash your hands again. And not only that, you make a bracha, Netilas Yadayim. Why in the world do you make a bracha Netilas Yadayim? You're about to eat bread? Why do you say Netilas Yadayim? I washed in the morning already. Now I have to wash for tefillah with a bracha? It's the kasha of the Rajba. Chelak Aleph, Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Why do you make a bracha Netilas Yadayim? Says the Rajba. Because every single morning we become Keberia Chadasha. Shenemar, Chadoshim, Labikorim, Rabo Emunosach. And every morning, we have to inaugurate our Avodas Hashem and thank Hashem, Shabranu Lechvoida. And therefore, we wash our hands in the morning with the bracha, Kekoihen, Shemekadesh Yadav Bekiyar. It's very interesting. So you're telling me I'm a Yisrael. Want to hear something interesting? My father was also Yisrael. My son, sitting in the front row, he's also Yisrael. I'm not a Kohen. I don't have to. Why do I have to wash in the Kiyar? Why am I washing from the Kiyar in the morning? And even if I was a Kohen, there's no Beis HaMikdash today. What's the Kiyar have to do with anything? And then I encountered a Sif in Shulchan Aruch. I consider this the most misinterpreted Sif in the whole Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Simen Sadi Dalet, Bekumay Lehispalel, Imhaya Oimed Bechutz La'aretz, Yachzir Panav Keneged Eretz Yisrael. That we all know when you get up to Davin. You face yourself to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone has their way of figuring out where is the Mizrach. Everyone, we face Eretz Yisrael. But the Shulchan Aruch continues. Shulchan Aruch says, V'yichavin gam l'Yerushalayim u'le mikdash u'le beis kodshei hakadoshim. So I think most people think this means, okay, now I'm facing Eretz Yisrael. Now let me calibrate exactly. Oh, Yerushalayim is there? Okay, now I'm going to turn this way. Yeah, but I'm not facing the beis hamikdash. Okay, I'm going to make a millimeter turn that way, but I'm still not facing the kodesh hakadosh. Now I'm going to face the kodesh hakadosh. That's how the Shulchan Aruch is normally read. You think that's what it means? That after I'm facing Eretz Yisrael, I need to more specifically face Yerushalayim and even more specifically face the Kodesh HaKadoshim? That's not what it means. It says the Mishnah Berurah, Rotzoloimar, Yechavin Liboy. You should have it in mind. You face Eretz Yisrael, but you don't face Yerushalayim. You have in mind, what does that mean? What am I supposed to have in mind? Mishnah Berurah says again, V'rotzoloimar, Sheyachshoiv beliboy v'rayoinoy. Imagine, Keilu hu oimed b'mikdash, as if you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, Asher b'Yerushalayim, b'makoyim kodesh HaKadosh. You hear? It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. That when you daven Shemone Esrei, you don't face Yerushalayim, you imagine yourself standing in Yerushalayim. And not just Yerushalayim, you imagine yourself standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's not a chumrah. It's not a hiddur. It's a sif in Shulchan Aruch. That the proper kavana for Shemoneh Esrei is you imagine yourself standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I'm not a Kohen. I'm not a Kohen Gadol. Even if I was a Kohen Gadol, it's not Yom Kippur. But three times a day, you need to imagine yourself standing. So wait a second. I wake up in the morning, I wash my hands from the kiyar. The kiyar is all the way out in by the Mizbeach, and then by Shemoneh Esrei, I jump into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I mean, that's a big jump. Says Reb Schwab, and this is based on the main principle of the Siddur Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that tefillah is a journey that starts in the Ezras Nashim. And each part of tefillah corresponds to a different specific location of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's a progression from the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras Kohanim to the Heichal, to the Ulam, to the Heichal, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And each part of davening corresponds to a different location of the Beis HaMikdash. So here you have your handout, courtesy of Art Scroll. I have explicit permission. This is printed from Art Scroll Masechta Midos. They actually sent this to me, and I just printed on top of each location which part of tefillah corresponds to which part of the Beis HaMikdash. So let's take a brief look. We start out in the Ezras Nashim. The Ezras Nashim is the introduction to tefillah. What part of davening corresponds to Ezras Nashim? Asher Yotzar, Netilas Yadayim, Elokei Neshama. That is what is known as the Ezras Nashim. How amazing it is, how striking it is, that as you make your way from the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras Yisrael, you walk up how many steps? 15 steps. Keneged, the 15 Berachas HaShachar. The 15 Berachas HaShachar is the aliyah that takes you up from the Ezras Nashim until you get to the Shaar Niknar. So here's the deal with the Shaar Niknar. You know, the Shaar Niknar, once you enter the Shaar Niknar, it's known as Machane Shechina. Machane Shechina, Oivdei Koichavim Mazalos, we're not allowed entry. So imagine you're walking into the Beis HaMikdash, and you came in with your good friends, you came in with some of your pals, And they're allowed, Goyim are allowed into the Ezras Nashim, and as you're about to enter the Shar Niknar, all of a sudden the sign says, Yisraelim only. So the Goyim said, where are you going? He said, I'm going into the Machane Shechina. You're going into the Machane Shechina? Yeah, this part of the davening corresponds. Haloi kol ha-giboyrim ka'ayin lefanecha va'anshei Hashem k'loi hoyu. We're bidding farewell to all the famous Oivdei Koicham Azolos who have to stay outside. Say, what? Prejudice, bias, we have to stand outside. It's mamish sakonas nefasha. So what do? We quickly say, Mekadei Shimcha Barabim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's a very dangerous entrance. And then you enter the Yud Aleph Amois of the Ezras Yisrael. And that's mamish, it's like an Aguda convention over there. It's Kibbutz Goliois. So we say the Tanad Be'Eliyahu, where we talk about Hashem is Mekabeitz Yisrael. That's the Yud Aleph Amois of the Ezras Yisrael. Now we're ready for the Duchen. The Duchen has three steps. Reb Schwab suggests that it corresponds to the three Birchas HaTorah according to the Shita, Ashar Bachar, La'asoik, V'Haravna. And now you encounter the biggest item in the Mikdash, the Mizbeach. We say the Parshas HaTomed. Ezehu Mekoyman Shel Zvachim. And you look ahead and you see the great palace, the Ulam. But you got to get up the Ulam. How many stairs are up to the Ulam? 12 stairs, plus the platform. 13 steps. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, B'sholosh Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bohem. And now you're up to the Ulam. You enter the Ulam, the Pesach HaUlam, Baruch She'amar V'hoya HaOlam Baruch. That's the Pesach. And this is the main part. You're now in the Ulam and you look up from the ceiling to the ceiling and you see chains. The chains are Psukei Dezimra. The Yesoid of Psukei Dezimra is how one perek links to the next. Understanding. What is the connection between Baruch She'amar and Mizmar L'Soida or Hoidu? What's the connection between Mizmar L'Soida and Yehi Chavoid? What's the connection between Ashrei and the first Halleluka? What are the five Hallelukas? How does each one link to the other? I don't know. So as we mentioned, in order to appreciate Tefillah, it must be studied Be'ion like any Mitzvah entire. And I ask you one humble question. Would anyone in their right mind enter the Mikdash as they're about to see the Menorah and the Shulchan, would they come in? Would anyone come in with kelim of distraction in the Beis HaMikdash? Even on vibrate, even off, would anyone bring a kli into a Beis HaMikdash? Nobody would do it in their right mind. And of course, if we appreciate, if we understand, Tefillah is actually entering the Mikdash. You're washing your hands in Tehillas Yadayim from the Kiyar. You're passing the Mizbeach. You're passing the Makom of Hashras Hashchina. And we now enter the Pesach HaHechal. That's Yishtabach. And the Shulchan's on the right and the Menorah is on the left. And that is because the Rambam tells us there are two ways to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. You could recognize Hashem through the physical world, through the Bria, through creation, through the human body, through the ecosystems, through science. That's the Shulchan, the physical world. That's on the right side. An even greater way to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Taraseinu HaKadosha. That's the Menorah. The Menorah, the Netziv says, was a vehicle with which Hashpas HaTorah came down to the world. Says the Medrash, when somebody would say a good svara, Rav Tarfain would compliment, kaftar v'ferach. Says the Netziv, shuta d'rabbeisenu nitna lilmoid. Why would Rav Tarfain say kaftar v'ferach? Because Rav Tarfain understood through the decor and decoration of the menorah came hashvas hatorah. So the menorah on the left side, ahava rabba, ahava soilam. And now we're head on. Next misunderstood halacha. Shulchan Aruch says when you say Kriya Shema, you should say Shema Be'ema, Be'yira, Bereses, Uvazeya. You should be trembling, shaking when we say Shema. I was given permission to go overtime. No, just joking. Why should you say Shema, Be'ema B'yira, B'resa Suvazeya? What are we getting so worked up when we say Shema? Shema is such a beautiful thing. We're closing our eyes. Why are we saying it Be'ema B'yira? Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting another Tshuvas HaRashba, because when you say Shema, you're being Moiser, Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem. One should imagine that if ever put to the ultimate test, one would give up their life, Al Kiddush Hashem, and one should imagine such a thing. So Kriya Shema, the Kavana of Mesiras Nefesh, is the Mizbeach HaKetoiras. We're on the Mizbeach HaKetoiras, we don't offer a behema, we offer our Nefesh. And then there's this very thin partition separating us from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's almost like there's no hefsik at all between the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why we're Masmich Geula, and we enter the holiest spot on earth until when we're standing Shemona Esrei, we don't face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That is tefillah. It's a journey into the Mikdash. It's a progression into the Mikdash. Each perek of tefillah has to be studied and compared to the kli that represents it. And now do we understand why when Shemona Esrei is over, we offer the following tefillah? We say, Ribbono Shel, we've entered the Mikdash virtually. We've entered the Mikdash b'machshava. Yehi ratzon mefanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu sheyibane beis hamikdash b'mehira v'yamim. Now we're ready for the real thing. That is the conclusion of the Shemona Esrei. And we back out and we decline. I'm done? Okay. And therefore, thank you. We conclude our journey through the Beis HaMikdash every day. We back out of the Beis HaMikdash through the Ezras Kohanim, the Ezras Yisrael, and finally the Ezras Nashim. Marv Raboisai, the Yom Tov of Chanukah. The Tzara of Chanukah was precipitated because we were in Nisrashel, Ba'avodah, and the miracle of Chanukah we enjoyed because the Kohanim and Klal Yisrael were Nischazik Ba'avodah. We hope we're Mespala on the Zchus of us gathering together this morning to be Nischazik Ba'avodah. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to the collective tefillah of Klal Yisrael. Yiratzoin, Mofanecha, Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu, Sheyibane, Beis HaMikdash, B'mehira V'yameinu, B'sein Chalkeinu B'sar Asecha. Thank you so much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.